Every month, we check in with Midwest environmental journalist Gary Wilson to discuss the Great Lakes. Welcome back, Gary.
Good to be with you, Mark.
January is certainly off to a busy start for environmental issues. There was a Flint water town hall just last week that coincided with the one-year anniversary of the U.S. EPA's declaration of an emergency in Flint. Governor Snyder put a spotlight on the need for a big water infrastructure project in his State of the State address this week. But let's start with now ex-President Obama and his policies for the Great Lakes. He promised great things for the lakes as a candidate back in 2008. 8 years later, how did he do?
You know, he kept he did something significant. He kept a campaign pledge, which many politicians of all stripes don't do. He kept a campaign pledge to fund and implement restoration of the Great Lakes, to treat them with, and I'm going to quote here, a new standard of care. That's a phrase that was coined by Cameron Davis in 2009. Davis was his Great Lakes advisor. So Obama started what will be a decades-long process to clean up legacy toxic hotspots that are scattered around the region. You know, Michigan has about 14 of them, and the missing component there that prevented the work was always the tens of millions of dollars that all these sites, each site needs for remediation. And then when the Asian carp advance hit a tipping point in 2009, Obama's EPA diverted funds from other projects to stop the advance of the carp in the Chicago waterway system. That's the gateway to Lake Michigan. And there were countless other projects, from protecting wetlands, eliminating barriers to fish passage, and some long overdue research. The list goes on. Now, his restoration plan was essentially the one designed in the Bush administration. That's George W. the son. But Bush never funded it. It's a comprehensive plan, and one hopefully that will continue, but we'll have to see.
So where do you think his administration fell short?
Well, Mark, there's one glaring failure, and it sticks out like the proverbial sore thumb, and that's Lake Erie. Water quality in Lake Erie has steadily declined in his tenure due to nutrient runoff. Translation of nutrient runoff is farm pollution. And that led to the Toledo water crisis in 2014. I think we talked about that at the time a number of times. 400,000 people without drinking water for 3 days. The curious thing about that is in 2011, the president's then EPA administrator, Lisa Jackson, said in Detroit that Lake Erie's problems would be a priority, but taking them on didn't happen. And then there's Flint. And we have to remember that Virginia Tech professor Mark Edwards said that the U.S. EPA, and I'm quoting Mr. Edwards here, said that the EPA aided, abetted, and emboldened Michigan's DEQ. So Toledo and Flint happened on the watch of EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy, who left office, by the way, without ever taking responsibility for the failures. That'll be a direct reflection on Obama's legacy.
So overall, if you had to give President Obama grades for the Great Lakes and drinking water quality, what would they be?
I tend to be a tough grader, Mark, but he deserves an A for his effort on Great Lakes restoration. And I'd give him a solid B for the actual implementation of the program. Now, on drinking water quality, you know, I'd give him a D. Sadly, that may be generous.
What will his Great Lakes legacy be?
Well, I think it's going to be similar to his work on health care, the Affordable Care Act. The president did the hard work to start the process of restoring the Great Lakes, and that's significant. But it's going to be up to subsequent administrations and generations to continue what will likely be a decades-long effort, like the Health Care Act. His plan was never to be the definitive one forever. It needs to be updated, changed, improved, and it's the same thing with Great Lakes restoration.
We're talking with current state environmental journalist Gary Wilson and reviewing recent Great Lakes news developments. Gary, in Flint last week, representatives from Governor Snyder's office, the Department of Environmental Quality, and the U.S. EPA, and others participated in a town hall style briefing on drinking water quality. to Flint citizens. The event was hosted by Mayor Karen Weaver. What was the message to Flint citizens on the status of their drinking water?
It was a packed house, and in Flint, as you can imagine, to get the update. The message was simple, and it was a unified message, and that's 1 year after the emergency was declared in Flint by the U.S. EPA regarding the drinking water quality. That quality has improved substantially, but, and there's that but word, it's still necessary for the people there to use filters, and it will be for some time. Back to Virginia Tech's Mark Edwards real quick. He was not at the site, but he participated via Skype. And responding to a question from Mayor Weaver, he said that Flint's overall water quality is now on a par with other cities with aged infrastructure. More specifically, the attendees were told, for example, by Rich Barrett, an advisor to Governor Snyder, that Flint had gone from, and I'm quoting here, being the worst problem in the country to having the most closely monitored water system in the country. I don't know if that inspires confidence, but he said he was had to tell it like it was. And then there, Michael McDaniel from Flint's Action and Sustainability team said that replacement of the 18,000 lead pipes in Flint was going to take 3 years. And here's what's telling, that it would require an additional $100 million that really doesn't have a source now. So that was a tough but necessary message.
Governor Snyder talked about the need to invest in infrastructure in his State of the State address this week, including the need for a new Sioux lock, which he described as a critical need. Briefly tell us about the lock and why that's important.
Well, Mark, sure. Infrastructure is on everybody's mind these days. There's only one of the locks, I believe it's the Poe Lock in the Sioux, that can handle the 1,000-foot freighters that ply the lakes. And those 1,000-footers are reported to be 60% of the ships that pass through the locks. So, Should that lock fail and that commerce grind to a halt, the economic impact to the country could be staggering, according to Governor Snyder's infrastructure task force. Now, this potential new lock was first authorized by Congress in 1986, if you can believe that. I think Ronald Reagan is president. But it's never been funded over the years. It's got a hefty price tag estimated at $600 million. So that's hard for legislators to get their arms around sometimes.
Are there environmental concerns with the lock?
There are always environmental concerns with a project of this magnitude. It's a big one, but concerns always on anything you do, anytime you do construction on the Great Lakes. But I don't think the environmental concerns are paramount. It's not a pipeline. One concern is that the project would be run by the Army Corps of Engineers, which doesn't have, in the eyes of environmental groups, a real stellar environmental record. But there will be environmental studies to make sure that no harm is being done. And I suspect environmental groups will just be neutral if the project gets off the ground. It's not their highest priority, at least right now.
What are its prospects for getting funded?
Well, Mark, there's hope that with President Trump having professed an interest in big infrastructure work, that he'll help drive the project. But I'd leave your listeners with a question about this whole thing. Should the federal government use $600 million, the cost of the lock, on the lock, or should that money be directed to water infrastructure work like in Flint? Or both projects. Those are the decision that the new president and the Congress are going to have to make.
Gary Wilson is current state's environmental journalist. He joins us once a month to review recent Great Lakes news developments. Gary Wilson, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.